Hello BattleTech fans, this is Travis and you are about to join me for a very fun video between Sam Lewis, Dan Bruins, and myself as a little follow-up to my podcast with Sam, which was great fun. And I found out during that conversation that Sam was not familiar with any of the animatics or animations that Dan Bruins had produced lately, including MechWarrior Bulldogs, which was published on this channel last year. And so I invited Sam to kind of come back and do a little kind of reaction watch party for those animatics, and brought Dan on as well to kind of be there, kind of ask questions, kind of shoot the shit after each of these videos, and was going to share that with you guys because it was a lot of good fun. And if you didn't tell from the previous podcast with Sam or didn't get a chance to catch that, Sam has a lot of really fun stories and a lot of fun insights into the BattleTech universe. But one thing that came up during this recording was Daniel's Patreon. And so hopefully a lot of you guys know what Patreon is, but basically it's a way for a community to support an artist with small, very modest monthly contributions. And I'm always really trying to kind of push the community to support Dan because I think he really is the most creative and talented storyteller in BattleTech right now, official or unofficial. The more we can do to kind of get him out of that freelance grind and into just really kind of spreading his creative wings, I think we'll all be the better for it. And so I think that just looking at the metrics that I usually get for these podcasts, you know, usually over 1,000, sometimes several thousand views on these. If everybody who watched this were able to contribute just $1 a month to support Dan's creative pursuits, he'd be able to drop that kind of desk jockey, you know, editing t-shirt graphics and whatever else, you know, graphic designers do or artists do to kind of pay the bills while they go home and kind of grind and produce amazing art in the meantime. You know, he can drop that and focus on creating amazing stuff, whether it's BattleTech, whether it's something else. But Dan loves BattleTech, so I think it's a safe bet to say that, you know, we'd get a lot of BattleTech stuff if Dan could work and follow his artistic passion. So consider doing that. It's not much. It's $1 a month. I think we can do it. I think we can kind of come together as a community to support one of our best talents, and good things will happen for both Dan and all of us as spectators and fans of his work. That's it. Thanks. Sit back and enjoy this conversation. I'll catch you on the other side.
Okay, so hold on, let me get to MechWarrior Bulldogs.
Oh boy.
So by the way, I've never seen this before. I've just seen little bits and pieces just to see if I could hook it up. It's damn impressive, dude. You did a good job.
Thank you. That really means a lot. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, I have not seen the whole thing. But the little bits and pieces I saw were really, it's sort of the way I view BattleTech in my brain. So,
Oh man.
Okay.
Hitting those heartstrings. Awesome.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. I'll start giving you know, crap a little later.
Oh yeah,
for
sure.
This is MechWarrior Bulldogs with what I think is a summoner there.
Yeah, the Warhawk,
Sam,
I don't have video on you yet. Can you get video on your face?
Oh, on me?
Yeah, on you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's start video.
There we go.
All right.
Hey!
There I am. Okay, here we go. All right.
Yeah, that's fantastic mustache, by the way. I saw your talk yesterday. It's wonderful.
I have had this for 40 years now.
Oh, so like well worn.
I was cool before this became cool.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I had this great story about my beard. I was in an airport with some athletes and we were traveling to a national championship. This must have been like 10 years or so. And we're just sitting there waiting. And this little kid, God, he was just such a character. He must have been like 8 years old. And imagine a kid that's just spent his life on the beach surfing. It's just like this kid is like, has got the coolness factor dialed up to an 11.
Right.
And he's just standing there and he looks at me. He's like, hey, bro, nice beard. And I was like, thanks, man. And it was just like, it's totally legit because this little kid, and he's probably not 8, he was probably like 11, but maybe a little small for it. And I was just like, thanks, man. And it was like, that's probably like the best, like, out of the blue compliment I've gotten in my life, was just this little surfer kid who's totally like the chillest guy, just being like, hey, dude, nice beard.
Yeah. And I was just like, I like the shit. Age thing. Now, yeah. This, so I've noticed, I've actually been looking at BattleTech stuff. I noticed Tex, is it Tex?
Yep.
Yeah. Tex. Glasses and a mustache.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that, when we sign books and people sign books for me, that's all you needed to do to know it was for me. They draw a little pair of glasses and a mustache. And there was, are you ready for another story? Gotta get
this. Yeah, let's do it.
Do it.
Let's do
it.
Story time.
Okay, so the story is, I am at the first European Gen Con.
Okay.
And we're doing a BattleTech. This was in Camber Sands. And we were doing a BattleTech panel. And I walk in, and let's see. And everybody in the audience was wearing... Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And that happened to me. It happened to me in Portland. And it happened to me like 3 times.
That's amazing.
Yeah. The entire audience. Oh, yeah, man. 30, 40 people wearing that. And the I am not Sam button you saw there.
Yeah.
What would happen at Gen Con and some of the conventions? I think I mentioned I would be running off and I'd have meetings all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the people who are working the booth would keep on saying, you got to ask Sam, find Sam. And in the end, they started wearing the I am not Sam buttons. So people would stop bothering them.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you get the one button that said Sam I am?
Yeah. Actually, that I don't have it, but I had a I am Sam button. They gave me one of the Gen Cons. So, yeah, the mustache has been around for a while and it's part of my identity.
Good man.
Excellent. I love it. It works. Yeah. It works. The comment section will attest to that of our last video. All right, everybody, we've already dived in, but we're bringing Sam together. You know, I had so much fun talking with Sam. I was like, oh, and Sam hadn't seen any of Bruins' work yet, which if you follow his channel, you know that I love Bruins' work. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, hopped on that. I was like, Sam, will you watch this with us on stream? And so that's what we're going to do now. So let's get these technical things set up. If I figure maybe we're all going to watch it maybe on our own screens, and I'll kind of synchronize when we start, and then in the editing, I'll overlay it.
I'm just going to run through the whole thing in my mind, and just like as folks are talking about it, like, oh yeah, that's, I remember that. I've seen that a couple hundred times.
Yeah. Just out of a curiosity, I mean, you just got music on this, right?
There's music. There is
Okay. Well, maybe what I'll do, because I'll immediately go, ooh, ooh. I'll try to mute the TV and
well, the music is you can't not have the music, Sam.
Can't have the music. Okay.
No, you have to have the music.
Can I just go dum dee dum 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 dum?
You'll miss out, man. That's half the experiences.
All right. I will not mute the music.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Ready and go.
Let's do this.
Okay. Nice setup. Pays all, better be good. Okay, yeah, that's how a locust runs. Awesome. And you got a normal neuro helmet. Okay, I'm going to tell you something that people will yell. Oh, I love the hair. One of the things, I hate the original neuro helmets. Don't tell anybody. They just don't look good.
It's a big universe. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's how we'll explain it.
It's that whole, it's way too big, and your face just sort of pops out.
Right.
All right, here we go. Okay, you're under ECM, so you notify but using flares instead of radioing in. Good move. Oh yeah, life sucks. All right. Is that a rifleman? No.
It is.
It is. Okay. It's an unseen rifle. Or not.
Yeah.
The new rifleman.
Some sort of weird custom job, probably.
Yeah. Okay. Locust going. And you got the locust. Ah, yeah. Okay. You're dead. Here come the elementals. Yeah. Whoops. Oh, took a hit. Yeah, see, that's what elementals do. They just jump on the queue and rip you apart until they get into your... Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, excellent.
That's perfect. Honey, I'm home.
Yes, Johnny.
Yeah. Okay, gotta do that. Gotta do the Indiana Jones, rip them off the side of the...
Awesome.
That is wonderful. Yeah, see, you got the relative speed and movement. Oh, you're doing the circle of death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When we did the animated show, there's a couple episodes where that's exactly what happened. Everybody just circles up and run, you know, keeps moving, but keeps, you know, circling around each other like that.
Right.
We called it the circle of death. Okay. And he's got his lighter out. Gonna make a hot spot. Oh, okay. Close air support comes in. Stallones? The ship, the arrow come in. Oh, he's just lighting up a cigar. Oh, okay. Here comes everybody else. Yeah, okay. Oh, that was great. All right. You got the speed of the locust winning by speed. You got the circle of death. You got a little more ponderance with the mediums. You pulled in the air support when it was needed. The characters, yeah, you knew who the hell the pilot was. You knew exactly who she was. Yeah. You knew who her commander was, the guy with the cigar. You know, just I'm going to say the tropes, but you didn't need any explanation of who these guys were. And
that's exactly what I was going for. Cram as character and personality into no dialogue, just images as I possibly could.
Exactly. So when I was, when I was doing computer games, we always would be yelling at the content guys who kept on writing all this crap to read. by the way, I worked at ZeniMax. It was, Fallout and Elder Scrolls. You know, there was written crap all over the place.
Oh yeah.
So every time we get into these arguments of, how much do you put in? And the rule was show, don't tell.
Right.
So for when you're playing an Elder Scrolls game, you don't have to read everything. You still know the story by the scene, what's happening. And you did a really good job of that here. Because the personalities came out, the viciousness of the elementals. I mean, those guys are crazy.
Yes, they're insane, and they're terrifying.
They're terrifying, they're insane. They like nothing better than this swarm of mech and rip its little pieces off until it falls down dead.
Yeah.
That was exactly an elemental attack. And so that was really well done. How many overlords did that mercenary company have?
Oh gosh. I had like three or four of them. That was just like the rest of Task Force Bulldog landing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So it wasn't the mercenary company.
Yeah, it was just like three, right?
Yeah, it's just you like three, four guys go like take out the AI so we can land the dropships.
Right. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't because that would be like a mercenary regiment. That was really well done. I enjoyed that. So are you doing anything more with this or
There's one little like follow-up scene that actually has some dialogue. It's like kind of set out in a sort of like a comic book style with like word bubbles on top of animation. There's like
Bella Bruins, it's on your Patreon. You sign up for Bruins Patreon if you want the sequel and help him make more stuff. Oh, he's so humble.
There you go. Come on.
Throw a buck or three a month over to Bruins and so he can make more. But yes, there is a sequel. Subscribe.
if I can get up to, I think it maybe it's like about $200 a month, I might be able to invest in some like actual animation software as opposed to this, which is made in Adobe Flash.
Okay, Holy cow. You did it in Flash, and that was all hand drawn, right?
That was all hand drawn, yeah.
Oh God,
Bruins did the music as well. That's why I was saying you had to turn on the music. That's all the music. Composed. Everything.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So no, that the music worked well. You should take a lot of pride in this, dude. That was pretty damn amazing.
All right, Sam. So the question is, Bruins has more stuff. You want to watch another one?
Sure.
Let's do it. All right, Freehet Mech Warrior. This one is my favorite.
This is the very old one.
This is his first. You did this in college, right? You did this in college, Dan?
Okay, hold on. All right, Liberty, Freiheit. Kid in the corner, looking very sad. Explosion up. And here comes the mechs. Oh, you colorized. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got the Japanese missile movement.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's real. Okay. Yeah. I like the perspective of the kid.
I was really trying to go for like these are giant machines that are sort of monsters, like a bit of like a kaiju movie sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the kid's absolutely powerless.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, pick up the rock. Okay. Oh, Hunchbacks! Yay! Sorry, I love Hunchbacks. Totally live or die.
Absolutely. One shot.
I put the 2C in because I like the idea. Yeah, I got 10 rounds of ammunition and I'm either going to win or die.
Yeah.
Okay. Rescue. Oops. Jenner. Yeah, that makes some sense. The kid actually not just running with the Oops. Yeah. Okay, the oh. All right, I am a little confused about the photograph. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, that
yeah,
was
the photograph threw me too, but Dan explain it once you know what.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everything else was, you know, you really got a good sense of what it's like to be the civilian in that.
Right.
You know, the kid where everything's blowing up above you, you have no control, all you can do is run, and suddenly something comes to save you. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the kid didn't just simply sit there or didn't simply just run away, mm-hmm. but when his rescuer was getting shot at, he anthropomorphized the mech and just, you know, wanted to save his own rescuer. That mm-hmm. was good. What I didn't get was you had that shot of the picture mm-hmm. of the kid and somebody who looks like, yeah, with the beard and stuff.
Right.
Was that his father, and was his father actually piloting the mech?
That is correct.
There we go. Okay.
You got
so
it.
So a little more, if I had been able to see the mech pilot.
Mm-hmm. I think he shows up
or the
like...
mech itself a little earlier so that I could establish that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had to think about that one.
Well, you did better than me because I didn't put them together until Dan told me.
No, and that actually then makes his whole don't die dad
right
thing, right? That makes it really, really more believable. I liked it a lot. Thanks. Yeah, so that was good. And you know, your art is really good, guy. And other than the Japanese swirly missiles, they move in a ballistic arc, kid.
You got it. What's it called? Like the Utano circus, where it's just like you kind of have to do it for the visual flair, sort of thing.
I absolutely agree with you. And normally, you know, I am when I see anime. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I mean, visually, it's just wonderful, and it's fine.
Yeah.
It makes the scene a lot more dynamic. But if you remember my interview, mm-hmm. where I said, "No, next, don't do that."
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Totally. But you know that's okay. I mean, from a visual standpoint, it's very, very good.
It's like spectacular. But now, like, what as I'm rewatching this, I've one, learned a couple of things about like visual storytelling. Two, I've learned how to draw a bit better. I'm mm-hmm. not sure if I would even include that shot the way that it is right now. It doesn't like it emphasizes spectacle and not so much the horror of the situation.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the best shot in there is when the dragon comes out of the smoke. That's just glorious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the shot. That's the shot that destroyed my computer for 3 days when I was trying to render out all the smoke.
Oh, God. Oh, good. I'm glad to hear rendering takes forever. Still,
it still does.
Okay. Good.
Instead of rendering like one mech or two mechs doing that circle of death, now we're rendering. I think that was like a 2 million piece particle system where, all the swirling smoke. Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was dumb.
Doing smoke was technically extraordinarily difficult back then.
Yes.
we did for the toys, we animated an ad for them. Mm-hmm. And the guy, the marketing guy kept on going, but you know, the smoke, you know, where's the smoke? And you know, this is 1994.
Right.
And we're going, they're bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're about the size of a dime. And actually I think it was McCoy finally got it to look reasonable. But it took him like 2 weeks.
Oh yeah.
And this was not something where you can go into a particle system today and just go start a smoke.
Beep,
particle.
Boop, boop, smoke.
Is, yeah. Yeah.
You can't
start
do that.
A smoke. And this is the, you have somebody, with a neural helmet that doesn't make him look like an idiot. So mm-hmm. there we go. Mm-hmm.
Well, the biggest criticism in the first one, MechWarrior Bulldogs, was when the Locust pilot takes off her neuro helmets.
Yeah, and the Locust was still working. Yeah. Okay, this is one of those things I mentioned before. The medium needs to have some flexibility.
Right.
And I did not mention that primarily because I knew it was important for the story.
Yeah.
That she shows she's wounded. And, you know, she's sort of in, you know, you humanize her some more by taking off the helmet.
Yeah. We've released the tension of the scene sort of thing.
Yeah. Exactly. And so it was an important move. And let it go.
Yeah.
I'll bitch about the non-ballistic LRM.
LRM. Let's do that.
Take it off the neural helmet. It was important for the story.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned like a couple of times, like in the comments down there, like not shown here is like the outtake reel where she rips the neural helmet off and the Locust just goes tumbling down.
I'm okay.
That's the way you do it. Yeah, she ripped it off, and then 3 seconds later, the Locust fell on its, you know, on its nose.
Oh man!
But we didn't want to see that, so we didn't show it.
That would be great Patreon content, Dan.
She's what's the thing where you're like the dumb thing where you drive on, you like climb on top of the car as it's moving. That's what she's doing with the Locust.
Definitely.
Awesome. Because who pilots a Locust against the Clans? Who willingly pilots a Locust against the Clans? Probably someone crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
They're used to Fire Moth. Tells... They're like, what's this slow thing running around me?
Right.
Yeah.
The Sam, I had a question on MechWarrior 2. How were you involved in the intro for that? Because that's definitely loved by a lot of the fans out there in terms of writing or scripting that intro.
I, other than approving it, I probably wasn't. Don't remember.
Because I feel like that would have been the first like true BattleTech animation, wouldn't it?
Probably.
Because Hawks both had like moving, had like picture animations that wasn't actually moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to say I probably wasn't because I don't remember anything, which just meant I read the script and I approved it. And I said, give us money. Remember Mickey Mech, you know?
Yep. I hear you. All right, Sam, we got more. You want another one?
Sure. Let's give it another shot here.
Okay.
We're looking for it.
The winter storm seems to have been making my internet popping in and out. So I got this on the sale. Where are we going?
We can edit those breaks. We're going to MechWarrior Revival.
Got it.
Oh no, the old one.
The old one.
Oh no.
When did you do this one?
Oh god, this was spring 2014. So this is we're going back in time now.
Okay, 7 years.
Jeez. Well, which one did Origins old? Or Revival
you
come
did this
first,
when
Dan?
You were 12?
I did this one when I was 21.
Oh, God. Okay. I remember that. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Mankind built a god in his own name. Okay. This is probably, while it's a little over the top, this is one of the reasons why BattleTech works, mm-hmm. is people believe they're the mech.
Right.
You anthropomorphize the mech and that's you. And when you talk to anybody, it's, I did this, and then I had my arm ripped off, and then my leg was shot off. And then, you know, it's, you become the mech. And that was one of the powers of BattleTech. I think.
Well, I've spent time pretending I was Wolverine a lot.
Well, yeah,
I was Battle Mechs. And yeah. I know Dan's been lots of time pretending to be Battle Mechs. I know.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Well, I my guess is that for Dan, it was trying to get the animations right.
Yeah, that's what I'll tell myself.
Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, that's not reason. You know, Dan just likes pretend mech warrior. I got it. Yes.
All right.
Yeah, we talked about it. Dan was trying to model the mech movements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was just trying to. How's that torso twist?
I'm not walking backwards. I'm a mad cat.
All right.
Here we go. Yep. Ryan, okay. Rifleman. See, I can still recognize soldiers. Oh. Got Atlas with the skull. Everybody did. I mean, it was just so natural.
Yeah.
Planners. Oops, life is bad. Oh, the Hunchback is back.
Yeah.
And Russell Hogg, Free Republic.
Exactly. Yeah. That was where that's where I stake, like putting my flag down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too bad it got eaten up by the clans. Mm-hmm. Same pilot? Shot.
Different pilot.
Yes, actually.
Oh, is it?
Okay, see?
Yeah, the original idea was this was a pilot whose father died in the Ronin Wars to, like, create the Republic, and she's there when, like, it's ending, basically.
Was that a Raven?
That was a Locust.
That was a Locust. The silhouette looked Raven-y to me, but...
This is... They kind of redesigned it for the newer MechWarrior games.
Okay.
That's sort of what I was basing this one off of.
Yeah.
There's a circle of death.
Circle of death.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It just looks so cool.
One, it's cool. Two, it's the way it happens. You've got enough space. Everybody's just sort of moving in this circle, trying to get their movement modifiers and their, being like the Savannah Masters. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm exploiting that little click on that little differential between the negative and the positive modifiers for shooting and defense.
Yeah,
I have no clue who did that.
So wait, Dan, the Hunchback pilot is the daughter, is the grown up version of the Freehead,
the kid.
But the Locust was the Locust pilot. That's what
the Locust, like this again, this is from a story that was drafted up in about 7 years ago and has since been basically scrapped because it was bad. Originally the kid Locust pilot and the Rifleman pilot were part of like a mercenary company that just happened to be on the planet when the clans come.
Okay.
So you have to have like a Rasselhagian pilot and a couple of mercenaries have to team up. Maybe track down like that Atlas pilot and maybe mount some sort of like guerrilla defense of the planet. Mm-hmm. Obviously we know how history plays out, but the more important, like the emotional core of that story is how do these people deal with it?
Mm-hmm. No, this is all great. I mean, you've got, you're very skilled.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
This is both from the storytelling and the animation. It's really, really well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll get more I'm bringing Bruins on. We're going to get an intro for Renegade HPG as soon as he gives me a thumbs up on availability.
I'm like right now, the rest of my day today is going to go into, I've got about a minute left on the probably the biggest animation project I've ever done. And it's going to be going up for techs at some point, probably by the end of February. Fingers crossed. I can't say anything about it, but
okay.
Ridiculous.
Do you have a real job?
I've got like a, I'm like balancing between a couple of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Freelancing. Can like be tough.
3 days out of the week. I've got this like, you know, a boring drive a desk kind of work where I'm just like Photoshopping t-shirts all day. And then I come home for about 2 days out of the week and I can just sit down and make stuff, which is super cool.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. That is very good.
Yeah, my goal, I would try to get Bruins as much exposure so I can be like, you know, 15 years from now, I was like, oh, I knew Bruins back.
Oh, God.
Before he got
when the movie comes out and they, the get next back. Kurosawa.
Awesome.
Yeah, I just need to like I need to hook a man up to like a fire hydrant's worth of fake blood and just have that spouting everywhere.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, this has been fun, Sam.
Yeah. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for asking.
It was fantastic to meet you.
Yeah, and a pleasure to meet you too. This was, you know, it's always weird when it's like this. For me, this was 30 years ago.
So, right.
I've been always impressed by the passion of, everybody who's kept this thing alive.
Because
it's passed from Facet, Fan Pro, it should have died, and it
never quite did. Which is super cool.
And it's the fans and, you know, Randall and, you know, everybody else who picked up the torch.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I think my screen just went all weird and white on you.
No, but, we're good. We still see.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Just some weird lighting here. But anyway, thanks a lot. I appreciate you guys.
My pleasure, Sam. We'll have to I'll try to coordinate if you want to, you know, just chat BattleTech. I'll try to get Tex on, and we can get the real mustache.
Oh yeah,
we can have a mustache
with the mustache avatar, the mustache off.
Yeah,
you know? And we'll do a round table. Sam, what's your favorite kind of dimension of BattleTech to geek out about? You know, what can be our theme of our nerd session that we can set up?
Oh, jeez, I'm drawing a blank here. For me, as you notice, once a conversation starts, then it goes, oh, I remember a story.
Right.
Maybe it is sort of talking a little of the behind the scenes of why certain things happened. I mean, I've already spilled a lot of it.
Well, then I have a question. I almost forgot because I wanted to ask this today. Bruins loves Free Wrestle Hog Republic. I love Free Wrestle Hog Republic.
Yeah.
Tell us about the history. Tell us about like kind of, you know, that creation process. Because you came around right around the time that time period.
The Free Wrestle Hog Republic happened during the 20-year.
Right, 20-year update. Yep.
And some of it was sort of, again, military history of colonies and areas that weren't really happy with the leadership of the Larens or the Combine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's sort of like what happened at the end of World War One. Yugoslavia suddenly showed up.
Right.
And that's, to me, Wrestle Hog was the analog of Yugoslavia. You had this really big forced secession war and things were, tense. And at the peace treaties, the Rosahagians said, we're free. And everybody went, you know, we're too fucking tired.
Right.
Yeah.
So, sure, you're free. I don't think we had decided that the clans were going to come that way anyway, but we knew Kerensky went that way.
Yeah.
So we did not set it up at the time to fail and to be the clan
punching bag.
Clan punching bag that it was. But you know, it was one of those things where we're going, okay, what happens? You know, okay, we're at the end of the Fourth Secession War, all the treaties are getting signed. And we know that there had been a very strong Rosahagian movement. Okay, it makes sense that they demand, you know, their freedom, and the Commonwealth has enough problems and the Combine has enough problems. They say, okay, sure. It gives them a buffer zone between them.
Yeah. Right.
Which is sort of like Poland at the end of World War One. You know, Poland exists. Suddenly existed, and all the Baltic states existed to give buffers,
right,
between, you know, Germany and every place else.
Yeah, I mean, it works perfect for the Combine to kind of isolate their border to the Fed Suns.
Yeah, yeah. Suddenly, you know, they only having... have to worry about the Feds down in the South rather than both sides. Mm-hmm. So. And for the Federated Combine, Federated Commonwealth, same thing. They only have to worry about that. No one worries about Lao. No one worries about Narek. Though I've always loved Lao. I think
they have a lot of character.
Yeah, they do. They do. They've got a couple crazy people. Mm-hmm. You know, Maximilian was wonderful. But I think there was the picture of the, I think this is in MechWarrior, it might have been in the Lao source book, of the Death Commandos. Dwayne Lucy did them, and I looked at that and said, yeah, this is a cool faction.
I love the sort of like,
but they were also the punching bag of
the war. I love the characteristic aesthetic of Lao mechs towards the end of the Succession Wars, because it's basically like, okay, what do we have? What parts do we have? Put something together. That'll do. It's fine. Get it out.
Get it out. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's what happened with Rosahag. That's sort of what happened with the end of the Fourth Succession War and the 20-year update.
Mm-hmm.
The 20-year update was a critical piece, but it really existed for 1 year for us.
Right.
Right. It was we announced the Fourth Secession War at Gen Con. Mm-hmm. And by the next Gen Con, we did the 20-year update and released 2750 to prime the arrival of the clans the next year. Right. But it's an incredible bridge, or incredibly important bridge piece for the story.
Sam, visually, what are kind of your favorite mechs? What are kind of the bee's knees for you?
Mad Cat, Vulture, Atlas. I like the Nova, the Black Hawk. Mm.
Right.
Actually, that was one of the ones I sort of, you know, it's all medium lasers. Guess what? Yeah. Guess who did that one? and it's like, yeah, if you really want to push the button and, you know, cook yourself in your cockpit. Yeah. But so let's see, those whatever ones. I like the Panther just because of the underslung weapon.
Yeah.
Let's see, I got tech readout here. I'm just trying to
Marcus Ross. Panther. Yeah, the black. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, everything else is sort of cool at Hunchback. Yeah, let's.
Oh yeah,
forget the Hunchback.
Bruins, is the Hunchback your favorite, or is the Locust?
That's a really tough question.
Yeah.
Hunchback like feels the most solid, but the Locust is the most fun to animate.
Yeah. Just 'cause
it's like so skittery.
Awesome. Yeah.
Tell Sam about your Hunchback pilots kind of
Oh yeah. if you notice, if you go back through like both through the revival trailer and through Free Het, the father pilot has like an eye patch over his right eye, and like the actual Hunchback pilot has like hair growing down over it. That's like more than a specific aesthetic thing. I had intended that to be like sort of like a world building sort of idea of occasionally like your sensors go out and you have to rely on the Mark One eyeball, and if you're a Hunchback pilot, you have to get used to having a gigantic blind spot on your right side.
Okay.
Yeah,
army stuff,
right?
So when I was gunning, on the tanks, we picked this up from the West Germans. We would wear an eye patch over our non-dominant eye. For me, I'm a left-eyed, so I'd wear it over my right eye,
right?
Because you're supposed to have both eyes open when you're in the, you know, when you're firing the weapon. But the problem is it gets a little weird. So, it, you know, mid-70s, it was all the rage for the gunners to wear an eye patch over their right eyes during tank gunnery. So, yeah, there you go. And absolutely right. You've got this flash over there.
Yeah.
And
you just got like a big old like honking cannon taking up half of your vision. You might as well like get used to the fact that you're not going to be able to see much out of that side.
Yeah, exactly. That and the fact that there's a big freaking flash over there.
Right.
So yeah, absolutely.
Well, so at some point someone was supposed to like toss an apple or something to that pilot while they're sitting around a campfire, and she just like catches it without looking up. Go, what the heck?
See, that's that visual storytelling. You're really good at this, man.
Oh, thanks.
That was an excellent idea. Yeah, I mean, it's that type of little detail.
Right.
It shows you've got to think about how the real world would impact them and then express that reality in little things. I like that. Like that a lot.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, there's some little details there.
I love the like just getting into the weeds on like how does a specific setting really affect how these people think and behave and what choices they make and like what sort of personalities they end up having. That sort of stuff is.
If you listen to the first one, which you should like and subscribe to, and this one too.
Promote Bruins.
Our story and World
you promote me, and Bruins has to promote Sam. So Sam, tell Bruins.
Yeah, there we go. But that's how we approach world building. You know, if this is true, what's the impact?
Right.
How does that populate through the rest of the world?
And they just hope to God you remembered everything.
Well. So we were having that problem with BattleTech with Renegade Legion after Interceptor came out.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a 40-page doctrine book based on the technology, and that informed everything. And actually, if you pick up a copy of Centurion or a Prefect, that doctrine book is published there. But I did the doctrine first, saying, okay, if this technology does this and this and this. This is how it impacts the doctrine of both of the militaries and blah 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 blah. But it was, you know, it turned out to be about 40 pages, and we published it. But it was written 2 years before Prefect came out, because we needed to have that understanding of how the world was impacted by these early elements.
Well, paid off. Renegade Legion.
Yeah, we tried.
Some enthusiastic fans there, and it stole my stole my name. That's that.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I want the.
When you first contacted me, I was going great. He wants to talk about Centurion, and then it was BattleTech. Well, we can do that too.
Yeah. I've been hesitant to use the name, but at this point, I'm just like, that's the name of the mercenary company. It's the Renegade Legion. Cause I love the name. I love the word Legion in general. I just think it's such a cool name. Inspired, I'm sure, in a lot by Mass Effect, but it's just the idea of legions of, you know, troops amassing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a, it's a impactful word. I like it. Yeah. So it works and it sounds cool. You know?
Yeah.
So I'll steal it from you guys.
That's okay. That's not stealing. Remember? Dawn of Renegade Battle Run.
So what's the line like? Amateurs imitate professionals, steal.
Yeah.
Something along that.
We are inspired.
Yeah.
Yes.
Inspired by. We make homages.
Definitely.
Yeah. The only real difference between the two is just like how much you really commit to it.
Well, if you talk with a lot of enthusiasm and a sense of purpose and use a lot of hand gestures, you can get away with anything.
Awesome. Yeah.
We're doing it. Well, we got more coming up. So, you know, Sam Zen, we're going to do a roundtable. I'm going to get Tex in.
Okay. We'll have a mustache off.
Excellent.
Hell yes. And, I'm stoked.
I got to find, I used to make. When we went to Gen Con, we had people sign books and my artists would make these wonderful little caricatures and stuff. I'll pull some of those out.
Fantastic.
Because I do bunny rabbits with mustaches. And,
I love that.
I love it.
Oh, okay. So the next time I will talk to you about the pink copy of BattleTech Compendium.
Okay.
The only one in existence.
Okay.
All right. I'll put that on the show notes.
Yeah. Make sure I remind you remind me of it.
I will.
All right.
And Bruins, you got work coming up, so people pay attention to the end of the month. We have unknown, unspoiled animation from Bruins for Tex. It's gonna be amazing.
It's gonna be a time. It's about 2 minutes and 30 seconds of something big.
And then later this year, you know, Bruins will come out with something for Renegade HVG too. So we'll get that going. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Thanks to always both of you guys. Dan, it's always fun. And, you know, as much nice as meeting I can you, Dan. Share these
animations. Yeah, nice meeting you, Sam.
Yeah. Fun, Sam.
Good luck with the winter storm. Stay warm. Hope the power stays on.
Yeah. It's more of the internet. Right now. Just every 3 hours, it decides to reboot. So
good.
It's all good. That's
like, hope you're not working on anything important, nap. Right?
No. I do woodworking, you know, as long as the power is running, the lake.
Oh, yeah, then you're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I need a Sam Lewis bowl in my house. You'll have to
be careful. my daughter does not want any more woodworking. You know, it's like, no, don't give me a bowl. I don't want a pet. No, I don't. Stop it. So,
oh, good.
All right.
All right.
Okay. I'll
talk to you guys later.
Thanks, everyone. All right.
Bye-bye. See you guys. Thanks.
support Sir Dub Dub on Patreon.